What do you get when you cross a solar farm with corn and soybeans? Answer, the state of Illinois. Let's get after it. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Man, what is going on? I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling lively, feeling really put together, despite the fact that I'm typically not. Everything's going swimmingly. We're basically over the halfway point of the journey through the cornfields here. And so this will be the recap of week five, episode five of the Cornfield Chronicles, in case you didn't read the title of the podcast before you clicked on it. But I'll get to all that jazz in just a second. Now, I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee, every time I brew it and drink it, is black, and the opinions, every time I espouse them, are unqualified. Cooper, what in the world are we talking about today? Well, I'm glad you asked, random listener, because today we are going over the Cornfield Chronicles, week number five. And if you're confused up until this point because you're a new listener, I get it. We'll get there in a second. First, our verse of the episode, John 8:32. And Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I've used it as the verse of the episode before because I really like that verse. But one of the reasons it is the verse of the episode this week is because I, in fact, preached on it on Sunday. Once again, I'll get to that in a second. Cooper, what in the world are the Cornfield Chronicles? Well, my name's Cooper Short. I am from Kings Mountain, North Carolina. I go to school in Upper State, South Carolina at Presbyterian College. The church I go to while I'm at school is called Bellevue Baptist Church. The pastor there is named Adam Powers. Adam Powers, way back when, was the senior pastor at a church in Forsyth, Illinois, called Forsyth Baptist Church. In February, Adam kicked around the idea. He said, "Hey, Cooper, you should go up to Forsyth this summer and work as the interim pastor since they don't have one right now." And I'm thinking, yeah, you're kind of crazy. Well, 5 months pass, and here we are. I'm chilling in Forsyth, Illinois, doing just that. So the Cornfield Chronicles is just a recap of my week in Forsyth, Illinois, serving as the interim pastor, cutting some grass, and chasing God's call to ministry on my life. So we recap episode five, week five, of my time here in the middle of the cornfields and the solar farm. If you haven't listened to episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4, I encourage you to go back and listen to them so you'll have a little more context of what's actually going on. So what did I do this past week? Well, I preached on John 8:31 through 32. That was a great time. Kind of the angle I took was the progression that are in those verses, right? So if you're truly Jesus' disciple, you'll basically read his word, hang on to his word, follow his commandments. And by virtue of that, you'll know the truth. And by virtue of that truth, you'll be set free. And I basically just went through kind of that progression. Something that was a challenge with that sermon was trying to find enough content to fill a sermon. With one of the limiting factors of only picking two verses is you have to kind of add a lot of things. And so that was kind of difficult. I feel like the sermon was decent. I give it like a 6 out of 10. Not one of my better ones, but thought it was a pretty solid sermon. So what's actually the highlight of this past week? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the highlight of this past week is my family came to see me. And by family, I really just mean my mom, my little brother, and my girlfriend. My little sister was busy. My older sister lives in Virginia, and my dad was busy. Some bad stuff happened at his school, so he was having to stay there and deal with that. But man, my family came up for the weekend. It was great. We went to St. Louis. Never been to St. Louis in my life. Always heard about it. Always heard about the Arch, you know, the Gateway to the West or whatever. Pretty sweet. We went to the St. Louis Zoo, which is one of the greatest deals I have ever spent money on. $15 to park, and the zoo was completely free. And we were there for like 3 hours. So four of us paid $15 to go to a really high-quality zoo for 3 hours. I mean, you can't beat that with a stick. Honestly. Went to St. Louis, saw the Arch, ate at a restaurant. It was just really cool to see St. Louis. I mean, I've grown up learning about it. I've grown up learning about the Arch. learning about the Mississippi River, how important it is, and I got to see all that. Oh, that was just really interesting because I've never been to this area of the United States. I haven't traveled that much. And so, man, that was really cool getting to see the arch. We went up in the arch. My mom was about to have a heart attack because she doesn't do claustrophobia, or she is claustrophobic, so she doesn't do claustrophobic spaces. So that was very interesting, but cool thing to see. Glad I went up in the arch. Ultimately, obviously, glad I got to see my family. That was a great time. It was really nice to see all of them. It was a good little taste of home. It's kind of kept me from getting homesick. And my mom brought me some actual real dirty South peaches, not this crap they sell in the Walmart here in Illinois. So those changed my life. I ate all of them in like 2 days. Made me a couple peach cobblers. Those were great. And so everyone at the church got to meet my family. My family got to meet everyone at the church. It was an all around solid, you know, 4 or 5 days. It was pretty great. Here's what else happened this week. My pipes backed up at the house that I'm staying in. So I'm working at Forsyth Baptist Church for the summer, and they have a pastor's parsonage, which is just a house that the church owns that whoever the pastor is, they live there. Well, naturally, since I'm the pastor for 2 months, they're letting me live here. And everything was going great until Monday night. There was a little bit of water in the floor in the basement, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Didn't really know what it was. Well, come about Wednesday, I realized, oh my goodness, all of my sewage drainage is backed up. So the good news is that I caught the backup before I could just sit around and run water for hours. So the flooding downstairs in the house was pretty, pretty minimal. The flooding was not bad at all. The only problem was I spent like 4 days without running water. I couldn't run any water because all the water in the house drained to the sewage. That wasn't a massive deal because there's only one of me. So the only thing that really inconvenienced me with was taking a shower. I had to go to a lady at the church. Her name is Beth. Beth and Nick Cavanaugh, they live across the road. I had to go to their house and take a shower, which is not a huge deal, but it's kind of annoying to have to pack up all your stuff just to go take a shower. But so that wasn't a massive deal. It just was a little bit of an inconvenience. But for the first about 12 hours, it really stressed me out because that's one of those situations where when I'm at home, that's not a problem I have to worry about. Like if the pipes back up, mom and dad worry about that. I just go to a different room or we just, you know, it's not a huge deal. It's weird being alone and having to deal with those things solo. It wasn't a massive deal. Like I said, the flooding was pretty minimal, but just a strange feeling having something go wrong and having to look around for help and like there is none. Like it's just me. You know, the people at the church obviously tried to come and help, but, you know, the worst of the flooding happened Wednesday night. Man, my mind's drawing a blank. Anyways, the worst of the flooding happened one night, and it was like 11:30, you know? So it's like, what do you really do? I mean, you can't expect someone to come and help you because they've all got jobs and lives. Like, I don't want them coming to my house at midnight because that would really, really inconvenience them. So having to kind of eat that by myself and try to take care of it was kind of stressful. Didn't sleep real well all week, but hey, everything is hunky-dory, son. So, Cooper, what are your takeaways from week 5 in Illinois? Well, it's kind of weird because I'm now over the halfway point, so that's pretty interesting. But here's just 3 of my takeaways from week 5 in Illinois. I think it's week 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, week 5. Here are my takeaways. I don't deal well with inconvenience. My personality type and the way I am is I'm all about streamlining and getting from point A to point B as fast as possible. I take tests fast. I read fast. Dang, I talk fast. I work fast. You know, that sometimes gets me in trouble. You know, haste makes waste, whatever. But inconvenience doesn't sit well with me. You know, the fact that I couldn't run water in my house really stressed me out. And it shouldn't have, but I get bogged down by things like that really quickly, and I start to kind of throw in the towel and get upset. So kind of dealing with that on the fly kind of got to me. And that goes for a lot of things, you know. I love being busy. If you know me personally, you know how busy I am. If you don't know me personally, I slam my schedule full of stuff. I love to have things to do. I've got multiple hobbies. You know, I mean, right now, I mean, just for example, here in Illinois, you know, I work a full-time job during the day, and then I have to come home and prepare sermons and cook and clean and shower and stuff like that. And so I don't really mind, though. That doesn't bother me that much. I'm really enjoying my time here. It's allowing me to save a lot of money, things like that. It's all going really well. But everything is really, really tightly put together. So when you come home and realize you can't use your own water, well, that's a whole 30, you know, 45-minute process to pack your stuff up, go to someone's house, take a shower, come back. Like, it just kind of threw a wrench in my schedule that I don't really have space for. And so I don't deal well with my schedule being gummed up. I'm not really good at moving things around. I pretty much get in my head idealistically how my day is going to go. And if it doesn't go like that, I get bogged down. So that's one of the takeaways, something I need to pray about and work on. Here's another takeaway that has nothing to do really with faith at all. It kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. The 4th of July is not all it's cracked up to be. Listen, I love the United States as much as the next guy. The United States is an absolutely incredible country to live in. I'm beyond blessed to have lived here or to have been born here. I still live here. The United States is amazing. 2-0 in world wars. You know, we've basically beaten everybody who sucks in world history, at least for the last 250 years. The United States is incredible. I'm not saying that it is not incredible, but the 4th of July is overhyped. Let me tell you why it's overhyped. Because we celebrate the 4th of July, and here's what we do. We throw American flags around at stuff, we make hamburgers, and we watch fireworks. Like, what are we actually celebrating? We're celebrating the independence of our country, which, if you ask me, I would make the argument it's when we ratify the Constitution, but that's besides the point. Because, well, actually, let me go ahead and make this point real quick. If July 4th is Independence Day, why did we fight a war after that? You know what I'm saying? Like, we clearly weren't a country until we actually beat Britain. So maybe you can make the argument that the surrender at Yorktown makes us our own country. I'll buy that logic. I personally think it's when we ratify the Constitution, because we're not a cohesive governmental country until we ratify the Constitution. Or I guess the Articles of Confederation. You get what I'm saying? All I'm saying is, here's the point I'm making. The 4th of July is overhyped because I feel like, you know, I went to a cookout with some people at church, here at the church, and it was awesome. People were incredible. The food was phenomenal. But we're not all sitting around talking about, you know, American history. Like, we're all sitting around talking about our own lives and stuff like that. And, like, that's fine. But what do we celebrate? We're celebrating the birth of our country. And I don't know. It just seems like we kind of overhype 4th of July a little bit if we're not going to make it about what it's really about. Because no offense to anybody who thinks fireworks are great or, you know, the entire country of China. But fireworks are not that cool. They're just not. I mean, maybe it's because I've never seen a phenomenal fireworks show. Apart from, like, Disney World, which who cares? But fireworks are overhyped, too. I really like the 4th of July, but the older I get, I'm starting to kind of wonder, what are we actually doing? Because you would think we get so hype about July 4th, but we've also got a lot of historically ignorant people in the United States. And why is July 4th not used as an opportunity to help educate people? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, kind of weird. And I guess my perspective changed this year because my family's not here. And so I didn't really have anything to look forward to on the 4th of July for me personally, besides going to eat lunch with Dawn and Steve Hutchins. And that was great, you know, but that's not my family. You know, I had to meet everybody. They were new. And so it was great. I had a great time. It got me out of the house, away from my non-running water. But, you know, I don't know. Being away from home made me realize how fickle the holiday really is. Like, what are we actually celebrating? I don't know, kind of weird, because I know what I'm celebrating, but nobody wanted to sit around and talk about, you know, the Declaration of Independence with me. So, I don't know, kind of weird. Here's my third takeaway of week 5 in Illinois. Christians are too enamored with contentment. Cooper, what in the world are you saying? Something I've noticed about the church here. I love these people. They are incredible. I'm having a phenomenal time. I really honestly don't want to leave. I don't want to leave them because, we're seeing God's doing a lot of things here and everything's going really well. I mean, we had 42 people at our worship service last week, and that's awesome. I mean, 42 people for them, for this setting. You know, when I got here, we had like 24. You know, and God's almost doubled that, you know, just in about 4 or 5 weeks. And that's all a testament to Him and this church. It has nothing to do with me. But everyone here is really excited about that. But I'm trying to encourage them to move past that. I'm excited too. I'm having a great time. I love the change. I love the positivity. I love to see what God's doing. But we can't settle. And that's been kind of something I've kind of realized with the people here at the church. God's doing some big stuff here, man, and everything's going really well, but we can't just settle for being happy with change, right? We've got to pursue God's will for us. They've got to pursue God's will for them. And I see that in Christians a lot. You know, we kind of get to a point in our lives where things plateau out because everything's going great or everything's going like we thought it would. And that's fine, but growth has got to continue. Pursuit has got to continue. I mean, you've got to pursue all that God wants you to be with reckless abandon, and you've got to look forward and never backwards. And that's just something I've noticed. Some of that is my roughshod personality. I'm always trying to move forward, do more things, do this, do that. I'm always trying to go. And so I realize sometimes that that's not the right mentality to have. But generally speaking, as believers in Christ and as followers of Christ, we should never settle for the way things are today. I think we can praise His name for those things. I think we can relish in those things and be excited about those things. But ultimately, we have got to move on, because Christianity is a process. Christianity is a process in you personally. It's a process in us congregationally. And it's a process in the church as a whole. We ought to be progressing every day, every week, every month, every year, every lifetime. And that's just something I've really kind of come to terms with this week, is everything's going really great, but we've got to keep going. Because if I leave in 4 weeks and everything just goes to crap again, what did I do for this church? I did absolutely nothing. And if I can leave a legacy of, listen, I love you and this is awesome, but you've got to keep moving forward. You know, because ultimately I just wanted to come to gain this experience and to be an encouragement, because I don't know anything. I can't do anything. I've got no talents. But one thing I do know is that God's called me to ministry, and here I am utilizing it according to His will for my life, and everything's going really well. But it can't stop on July 29th when I take the trip back down south. It's got to keep going, because it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about my thoughts. It's about His. It's not about my will. It's about God's will for us as this group of believers here trying to put this church back on track. And so that's just something that I encourage you, if you're listening, to pray about. Pray for this church and next steps. Pray for their next leader, Forsyth Baptist Church. Pray for the congregation here as a whole, that even more people continue to step up and kind of shoulder the burden of going through this revitalization process, because it's a big commitment and it's a big obstacle, but it's definitely not an immovable obstacle, especially not with Christ at the helm of the ship. And so that's really just kind of my takeaways from the week. Ultimately, the week went pretty solid. Work was a little hard this week. It was super hot outside, but hey, I'm still grinding. My Jesus moment of the week was actually in the middle of my sermon. One of the verses I referenced towards the end, for some reason, I honestly can't remember right off the top of my head what it was for, was Romans 8, 37 through 39. Actually, sorry, Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I put that verse in there because I was using it. I don't even remember what I was talking about, to be completely honest with you. That's kind of embarrassing, but I put it in there. And literally in the middle of reading that verse in front of a congregation of people, I started to cry. I could not make it through the verse. I had to stop. And I don't truthfully know why. I have a lot of theories. But that verse, I mean, I've heard that verse before. And the concept that verse is really hitting at, I've always known. You know, God loves us more than we could ever understand. You know, He's got agape love for us, unconditional, you know, never failing kind of love for us. And we can't really comprehend that as people, as sinners. But reading that verse in the middle of my sermon and just breaking down and feeling God's weight on me right there in the middle of that sermon, man, it was a powerful experience, because it's like my eyes were opened up to the actual true meaning of that. It's, you know, a lot of thoughts and feelings just rushed in that moment as I'm literally behind the pulpit. How convenient. And I was just broken down by the weight of my sin and the lifting of that burden all in one moment. You know, that my sin is immeasurable, but so is God's love. And He covered that bill for me. And so just in the middle of my sermon, man, that hit me. That hit me like square in the face. And just what an awe-inspiring moment experiencing who Christ is and who He's called me to be. Pretty awesome. Pretty solid. your CHH song of the episode, which is Christian hip hop, which is Christian rap, for those of you that are behind the curve here, which is rap music about Jesus. Yeah, that's a thing. Your CHH song of the episode is David by John Keith featuring Derek Minor and Joey Vontez. It's a banger. Let me just tell you, it's a really good song. John Keith is a really good artist. He's with King's Dream Entertainment. He's fairly new onto the scene. Derek Minor is one of my longtime favorites. Joey Vontez is also a really good artist. Joey Vontez had an album come out a few weeks ago, Legends Never Die. A really good album. David is a really good song. John Keith's music is really good because it has very subliminal spiritual depth to it. He's got a lot of stuff in his music that you won't catch the first time you listen to it, and I think that's pretty incredible. That's a really solid song. It's going to be on his new album that's coming out next week, I believe, or in 2 weeks or something like that, called Olympus. Pretty solid song overall. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I'll reimburse you for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CalfChrist. Check us out at CalfChrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Never forget who you are in light of who the cross has called you to be. And remember, the battle is already won. Outie.